in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help me and to help each one of us through the sound of his truth. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the psalm which we read and verse 47. Psalm 106 and verse 47. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. We're not told if this was a psalm of David, but dear friends, it's a psalm which looks back over all what the Lord has done for his chosen people. Not just any people. He called Abraham, and through Abraham there was born Isaac and Jacob, as well as Esau. But God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Oh, dear friends, these things, they make us tremble, don't they? That the sovereign will and purpose of God. For the scriptures tell us clearly that whilst here upon this earth, that our days are short. We live our days as a tale that is told. And there is an eternity before us. There will be no changes. We shall either be under the solemn judgment of God, or we shall be under the grace of God that hath delivered us and saved us from our just desert. And you find in many of the Psalms a prayer to this effect. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. That's how we are all born, isn't it? Among the heathen, unbelievers. Our parents, they may be believers, but we are born into this world which is full of unbelief. And we are born with hearts and souls which are also full of unbelief. That's our nature. Oh, dear friends, what a vital prayer this is, isn't it? Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. The psalmist has been writing of those things which had taken place throughout the ages since God called Israel out of Egypt. All the sins of his people, their rebelliousness, the strength of their self-will, of their own earthly nature. How solemn the strength of their own selves. And we don't find it just in this psalm, do we? We find it throughout the Old Testament keeping to Israel. Oh, the multitude of times. The multitude of times that they rebelled against the word of God, against the commands which he had given them. breaking the law, the righteous law of God. No matter what book, historical, or in the Psalms, or in the prophets, you find it again and again and again. The Lord's people rebellious, strong in their earthly nature, but the Lord strong in the grace because of his love toward them. Oh, dear friends, if it wasn't for the love of God, the grace of God and the gift of his holy begotten Son to pay the price demanded by his righteous law for sin, no one would be in heaven, would they? All of us here this morning, no matter what our age, would be condemned to that lake of fire forevermore. You know, I sometimes wonder what that must be like. We can't realise what it's like. We know how painful most of us, I should think, if not all of us, know what burns, the pain burns, can bring upon us in our flesh. And that is perhaps just from a slight burn, perhaps from just a flame of a candle. But in that eternal punishment prepared for the devil and his angels, in that lake of fire, oh dear friends, there'll be that pain without a bringing forth to the loss of it. There forevermore in dreadful torment. Oh dear friends, I trust we don't read these scriptures lightly. Asaph, whose feet had well nigh slipped from going in the ways of the Lord in obedience to his commands, and in the way he was born, in his duties and responsibilities, in the worship of God, Asaph was shown the end of the wicked. And through that knowledge of the end of the wicked, it made him fear. He turned to God. He confessed his sins. Oh, I was as a beast before thee, without any hope of eternal life. But through that solemn revelation, oh, Asaph became one who cried, whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I on earth but thee? Oh God, the Almighty God, the gracious God, was the joy and rejoicing of his heart that he had saved him. Oh dear friends, our trust, this is our prayer. It isn't just a prayer needed once. It's a prayer needed at all times, isn't it, whilst we live our lives in this sin-cursed earth. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Use whatever means to keep us from the ways of sin and eternal damnation. Dear friends, when we look at this psalm and the details that is given, our hearts are exactly the same. Even though we may be of the Lord's people. The psalmist says we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. But surely Israel would remember all the way the Lord their God had led them. How he brought them out of Egypt. That angel of death passing over. And all the firstborn in Egypt were slain. Only the firstborn in the land of Goshen were saved. Of those who had sacrificed the lamb in accordance with the word of God, given to them through Moses. Daubed that blood upon the lintels of their doorposts. And as it were, sheltering beneath it. Oh, it was all they could trust in. That was all they could hope in deliverance from death, was the sacrifice of the Lamb for their sin. And their sheltering beneath it by faith. Dear friends, they weren't disappointed, were they? They weren't ashamed. Oh, that which was of the word of God was true. That which was of the word of God came to pass. And dear friends, so it does for all those who confess we have sinned. With our fathers, we have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Dear friends, we must confess our sins, must we, before a holy God, in the power of the Spirit to teach us what we are before a holy God. We forget, don't we? Our own hearts don't teach us what we are before a holy God. Oh, Israel, coming out of Egypt, having been delivered, redeemed by that glorious power of God. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. They remembered not. Oh, dear friends, is that not the same with us? We can look back, perhaps, I hope we can, and about those evidences of God's mercy upon us, in delivering us spiritually from the power of sin. But as we carry on in our lives, day by day, hour by hour, and so many things arise that are contrary to our flesh, our daily lives, our comforts, and the things that we desire of our own hearts. Dear friends, the strength of them that we forget. We forget the multitude of the Lord's mercies and are just left to complain and just desire our own will and our own ways. You know, dear friends, that's our nature, isn't it? And left to our own nature, we shall perish in that lake of fire. But how great is the love of God? It was only through the love of God to his own chosen people that they were spared that solemn judgment. And God does not change. He's a faithful God. And dear friends, mankind does not change. We do not change as Israel, chosen of God. We're great sinners, so are we. We do not change. And it's only because of the love of God and the grace of God which abounds over our sins that we can be strengthened in our earthly lives to look beyond the things of time, to those things that are eternal, trusting that what the Lord has done for us and given witness of it within us, he's done it forever, forever. What does the psalmist begin the psalm? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Dear friends, I trust it's on that ground we come this morning to worship God. His mercy endureth forever. Not just in great things, the significant things of our lives, but also the small things of our lives. A prayer hearing, an answering God. Dear friends, I know it's only because of that that I find myself here this morning. As I was yesterday morning, I would not be here this morning with pain and discomfort. But through prayer, O Lord, if it's thy will, enable me to take that which thou hast appointed me to do in the courts of thy house on the coming Lord's day. And I woke this morning without any pain at all. Yes, maybe still a bit weak in the body, but the good hand of the Lord to hear and answer poor prayerful petitions. But I trust petitions for his own honour and for his own glory, not just for my own earthly benefit. Oh, dear friends, we read, don't we, in the scriptures, how we should speak often one to another of what the Lord has done. They that spake often one to another, those that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. And that book of remembrance was written before him. The testimony, dear friends, from those souls of his goodness. Oh, the prayer often is, save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen, that we do not walk continually in unbelief and doubts and fears. Do bring us into thy most marvellous light. Keep us as the apple of thine eye. May thy good hand of love be upon us, and those arms beneath us to help us, carry us, and defend us. Dear friends, to be drawn, gathered from among the heathen, is to be drawn by his loving kindness in the power of his Spirit because of his everlasting love. Now that becomes then our glory, doesn't it? His love for our never-dying soul. And we have to say, as the hymn writer put it, why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as me? Who would forever lie in hell were not salvation free? Dear friends, this psalm concerns really Israel collectively. And so it is today, dear friends. Israel was made up of individual souls. And the Church of Christ today consists of individual souls. But as Israel overall, dear friends, had many sins, many transgressions, many weaknesses, many failings, so does the earthly Church of Christ today. There's no perfect church, is there? Every church is affected by people's individual thoughts, feelings, wills and determinations. And there's much disagreements, fightings, as you might say, in objectives amongst people, as there was in Israel of old. Especially Israel and those whom the Lord had set over them, Moses and Aaron. When they left Egypt, we read, first of all, they came to the Red Sea. And oh, dear friends, that brought out from Israel their lack of faith, didn't it? Not realizing how great the power of God was to deliver them from Egypt. The significance of the faith they had, constrained by the Spirit of God to obey his voice and slay that lamb for a sacrifice for sins. And the power to separate them from the rest of Egypt, from all the firstborn. Oh, dear friends, they rejoiced in just being set free. But oh, what a mystery perhaps was to them, the way the Lord led Moses to lead them in the wilderness, and not by the trade routes way back into Canaan, where they'd come from. And it wasn't long before they came, as you might say, to a dead end. The Red Sea lay before them. They had no boats to cross over. They were in the valley. There was hills on either side. And those hills in the wilderness were very steep. They couldn't easily climb them. And their enemy, the Egyptians, regretted letting them go, was coming hard behind them. There was no hope as they looked upon the circumstances they were in. And so they complained. Moses, why hast thou brought us out into the wilderness to slay us? That was all they could expect, was the end of their lives through the trouble, the difficulty, the dead end, as you might say, they'd come into. Dear friends, I think we'd be exactly the same, wouldn't we? Oh, what was the purpose of being delivered from my captivity, even in a spiritual sense? To come to this place where we can't make any further progress spiritually, and Satan is right behind us to take us, to slay us, and we shall ever be lost under the solemn judgment of God. Dear friends, if it wasn't for the mercy of God and his love, his everlasting love, his everlasting mercy, his great grace, that's exactly what would have taken place. Israel only continued because of the love of God toward them. And dear friends, this exercise of experience was given to them by God, that they should begin to grow more and more in the knowledge that only God himself could save them. They had no power of their own. Yes, they had some power and some ability of their own in many sinful things. But they could not deliver them in the wilderness journey. They could not provide for themselves to give them life throughout that journey of 40 years. Only the Lord could provide for them and save them. And here was this great evidence, quite early on in their experience. God said to Moses, bid the children of Israel that they go forward. Why? The Red Sea's there, they can't go forward. But God said to Moses, put that rod over the Red Sea, stretch it out. And God made a way where there was no way. In spite of their unbelief, in spite of their sins, their doubts, their fears, their own intellect. Dear friends, he delivered them. Oh, dear friends, the Lord's goodness doesn't depend upon our goodness, does it? The Lord's goodness does not depend upon our belief. Everything we have of ourselves is unbelief and doubts and fears. But everything we receive for the goodness of our souls, bodily and spiritually, dear friends, is of God, of God's love and mercy toward us. We're not worthy of the least of his mercies, are we? Oh, yet how often we let these things lie in unthankfulness and without praises die. Oh, the answer to this prayer, dear friends, is for that end, to praise unto God. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Deliver us from them. Bring us out that we are separate. What's the distinction of that separation? It's the witness by the Spirit of the love of God within our hearts. The sacred truth as it is in Jesus, his sufferings, his shed blood, that cleanses us from all sin. That we are found accepted before God through his beloved Son. That's what separates us from the heathen. We have to live among the heathen, don't we? We have to live amongst unbelievers, no matter what our age. Oh, children at school, older children in their education, college, university, all of us in our occupations, circumstances of life in our nation. Dear friends, we're all amongst the heathen, amongst unbelievers. And we cannot remove ourselves from it. Well, we can by taking our own lives. And that's a great sin, isn't it? Oh, there's nothing we can do about that. Dear friends, we're part of this world in our flesh. Therefore, our bodies will die because of sin. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It's only through the Lord's appearing, the Lord's mercy, that we can come to truly praise God, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. And we don't glory in that difference, do we, to the rest of the world, to unbelievers? It doesn't raise us up and say, oh, I'm better than you are. We don't point the finger and condemn them, no. We can easily do that, and we probably do at times by nature. But, dear friends, we should be thankful. I know the Pharisee was thankful. He was not as other men were. But he was glorying in what he did, that he was better than others through what he did of his own self. Dear friends, that's pride and the glory of self. That is sin. But the distinction, dear friends, between a true child of God and the heathen is what God has done for them. Reveal that love and mercy within their soul. The knowledge of their sins, or they're worthy of eternal damnation. But through Christ and the revelation by the Spirit of God, they've come to a hope, a foundation of their hope, that faith in Jesus Christ, an infinite answer to their prayers, save us. O Lord our God, gather us from among the heathen. Deliver me from just living in sin, and to the pride of mine own heart, and oh, the glory of everything else upon this world, as if that's the only thing that is worth having. No, is to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel, all things beside. That's the saving grace of God, isn't it? Where Christ becomes first, foremost, in our thoughts, in our words, in our lives, in our deeds. And the Word of God dwells in our heart richly. Then, dear friends, we give thanks unto his holy name and to triumph in his praise. But then, dear friends, we fall again, don't we? And we fall again. And we fall again. We have this morning. I'm sure. Perhaps we don't know what our sins have been this morning. Our hearts don't tell us, do they? But the Lord knows. That's a solemn word, I find. That which is not of faith is sin. And dear friends, if we backslide and are determined in our own way, heart and mind, to continue in an ungodly way, well, we read in this psalm what God did to Israel. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Oh, dear friends, how solemn for the Lord to abhor his church, the church of Christ. Oh, what sinful things we find, don't we? That it isn't Christ and him crucified, the first and foremost, in the places of worship and the times of worship. I'm not judging, because I must look to myself, and we must look to ourselves. But if one is determined for the glory and the entertainment and the pleasures of just the fleshly mind, and that supersedes the things of the solemnity of sin and death and hell, then, dear friends, the Lord abhors his own inheritance. How solemn. He gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them. And they were brought into subjection under their hand. Dear friends, does this make you sigh and cry for the abominations that are done today in our land, and the effect it's had and been brought in to many of the churches, the places of worship? And as I say, the church of It is made up of individual souls. So we don't look at others, we look to ourselves. Oh, what are our hearts like before a holy God? What influence does the philosophies and fashions of this world have upon us? Is there a compromise? Do we say, oh, well, yes, I will go so far with it? Dear friends, we're not to enter into it at all. All these sinful things that emanating even now under the laws of our land. Oh, dear friends, we're to pray earnestly to the Lord against them. We've got no power against this great company, neither know what we want to do. Says Jehoshaphat, but our eyes are upon to thee. He did know what to do. Our eyes are upon to thee. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen. Don't let their influence have an effect upon us. What effect do you want to have upon us? Dear friends, the unity of the Spirit of God and the bond of his peace. Humbling ourselves. Oh, as the scripture says, he hath showed thee, O man, that which was good. What doth he require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God, leaning upon Christ, our beloved Redeemer and Saviour and Friend. He who has promised to be with us unto the ends of the world. Him who has all power. Power to save, mighty to save. He saveth unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, by Christ. All this is to be first and foremost in our minds, isn't it? And in when we're involved in this world amongst the heathen, we're to seek out that which is right in his sight. And when we feel the burden of a sin, a grieving of his spirit, the Lord's spirit within us, oh, to fall before him humbly at the throne of grace. Oh, David said, I am poor and needy. We don't get beyond that, do we? I am poor and needy. But, dear friends, it's through the sense of that knowledge that we pray this prayer, save us. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. And, dear friends, he has power to save. He has the power, the might, to answer the prayers of all those that call upon him. They do not cry in vain. Oh, those broken hearts poured out before him. You know, at times you may be like Peter. When Jesus was walking on the sea, and they were in the boat toiling in rowing, they were in the way the Lord had told them to go. They weren't disobedient to the Lord's word. But they didn't benefit from the knowledge of the Lord's presence with them. Darkness was there, the wind and the storm was there. Oh, we can have those in our daily lives, can't we? As if they separate between us and God. Between us and the knowledge of the sweetness of the love of Christ. But then he's appearing. If it be thou, says Peter, let me bid me come unto thee. What? Walk on that water, Peter? Jesus said, come. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Well, dear friends, have you ever heard the words the Lord say unto you, come? Come, ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give thee rest. Come, let us reason together, saith your God. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And in that coming, dear friends, Peter suddenly took his eyes off Jesus. And he lost that faith, didn't he, to walk on the water, impossible by nature. He saw the wind, he saw the storm, he began to sink. Well, we can only come unto the Lord through faith, can't we? It's impossible otherwise. The things of this world, of our nature, sin, it will drag us down. And Peter cried out, Lord, save me, I perish. Save me, I perish. The Lord was ready to save him, as he was Hezekiah. when Hezekiah prayed, Lord, undertake for me. Oh, dear friends, these are vital prayers, aren't they? And the Lord does hear them. He won't let you sink. He won't let you come into utter despair. Save me, for I perish. And the Lord stretched out his hand, took hold of Peter, oh, that strong hand, that strong arm, to pull out Peter. He wouldn't have been a lightweight, would he? To pull him out of the water and into the boat. And they were immediately, says John, at the place where they were going. Oh, there was complete deliverance. There was the overcoming of all the storm and all the darkness. With Christ in the vessel, the hymn writer says, we smile at the storm, but only through faith. Not by presumption. No. Oh, Peter's example. Save us, O Lord our God. I perish. We will perish if we remain among the heathen. If we remain subject to that earthly, ungodly nature of our hearts. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen. Give us faith to look and trust and believe in the saving grace through Christ Jesus, who gave himself a sacrifice for my sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the purpose of that prayer, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me to the triumph in thy praise. Oh, dear friends, how sweet a prayer this is, isn't it? A simple prayer, a vital prayer, an answered prayer. Oh, dear friends, may we all know them. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a cry to save us, isn't it? So may, dear friends, we each not lose the sight and sense of our great need. Jesus crucified for me. He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Therefore, dear friends, we need saving from the influence of this wicked world. We need saving from the influence of our own hearts. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, to triumph in thy praise. And dear friends, that'll be in the fullness in heaven above. All the praise and all the glory shall be unto Christ, who hath saved us, gave himself for us, and called us to dwell with him for evermore. Oh, dear friends, do think upon these things as we pass through our earthly lives, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Amen.